Okay. Good morning, church. It's wonderful to be with you again. I know you had such a happy and joyous celebration of resurrection, and now we're celebrating the third feast of our Passover celebration. Passover has three feasts: Passover, Unleavened Bread, and today we're celebrating the Feast of First Fruits. Church, there's so much about first fruits to cover. I'm going to lay a foundation today, but in just a little bit less than 50 days, we celebrate another feast. It's the Feast of Pentecost that will be coming up, and I will be sharing more about first fruits during that feast day celebration. And so today we're celebrating the third feast of the Passover, the Feast of First Fruits. And there's so much blessing and revelation in the Feast of First Fruits. We want to lay a foundation for it. Passover, as we've already gone over and has already been taught, begins in the book of Exodus when God delivers. He sends Moses to Egypt to bring forth the deliverance of the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had been in slavery for 430 years. And they began to cry out to God to be delivered from their oppressors. Are there oppressors that have been tormenting you? Do you know you can cry out to God to be delivered from your oppressors? And we learn principles of deliverance and blessing through the feast. So God sent Moses and Aaron so that they could deliver the children of Israel, not just to bring them out of Egypt, but to bring them to God Himself. God loved the children of Israel, and He wanted them delivered from the clutches of Pharaoh so that He might form the first nation in the earth to be His own, to know Him and to serve Him, and for Israel to be an example to all the other nations of the earth. And we know that Pharaoh refused to let them go. So God began to bring judgments upon Egypt. And the point of the judgments was to deliver the children of Israel, but also to demonstrate that our God and Father, it was greater than all the gods of Egypt. He defeated and shamed every one of them. And we know that when the 10th and final judgment was due to come, God gave them an instruction that they were to put blood on the doorposts of their dwelling. And when the death angel passed over, he saw the blood of the Lamb. And the firstborn in those dwellings was delivered from death. And this is the key word of the first feast, Passover. It is the word redemption, that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. A price was paid for the descendants of Abraham to be redeemed out of Egyptian bondage. And the price was the blood of the Lamb. And then we celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And leaven represents sin, the sin that is in the world. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread has to do with our separation from sin, with our sanctification, that once we receive salvation through the blood of Jesus, we are not to continue living in sin, but we are to live our lives separated from sin as long as we're in the earth. It's not that we don't miss it, but we do not live a lifestyle of sin. We live in the sanctification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, the children of Israel, were to leave Egypt so quickly that they didn't even have time for their dough to rise, for the yeast or the leaven to work in their bread dough and rise up. No, they took that bread dough and they fled quickly from Egypt, from the land of their captivity and bondage. And leaven, church, can mean many things. We do live in the world, but we are to live separated from the way that the world lives. And leaven can be many things. It's every kind of impurity, injustice. It is anger and grudges and bitterness and unforgiveness and strife and divisions. It can be sexual impurity. It can be lies, living a life of dishonesty, where telling many lies a day is very common for the people of the world, but it should not be so among the people of God. Leaven can be a lifestyle of anger, where you explode in anger, perhaps several times a day. Anger is not to rule over our lives, but love is to be the king of our lives. Leaven can be all kinds of stealing and theft, and it can be a desire for things that do not belong to you. But God wants us separated from the way the world lives as we submit our heart, our will, our desires unto Him. And this is the purpose of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Jesus had no sin in Him. And that's why when His body was taken down from the cross and He was laid in the tomb, His body did not see decay. When He arose on the third day, you know, you may have seen pictures or movies or where some zombie is raised from the dead and his ear is hanging down or his eye is falling out, and you know, you can see corruption and decay on his body. Not so with Jesus. His body did not decay because he was the sinless, spotless Son of God. Sin brings death into our bodies. And so we're called to live in this earth as unleavened bread. And then today we come to the third feast of this Passover season. It is a life-changing feast. If you understand the Feast of First Fruits, it will bring tremendous changes into your life. All the feasts have to do with our deliverance from bondage and our going forth into the supernatural life that God has called and prepared for us to live in. Church, I want to say the feasts have to do with revival. And that's why we celebrate them each and every year, because every year when we come to God with thankfulness and joy for our redemption and all the blessing that God has prepared for us, church, it, and we go through the cycle of the feast. Now, I've taught you on cycles, so I didn't major on that teaching this time. But every year, God cycles us through the feast to release more of His plans and purposes for us. And so as we go through the cycles, it not only brings forth deliverance, but it brings us into revival, where more and more of the purposes of God are revealed to us. The feasts are all about cooperating with the Holy Spirit to bring forth God's will and purpose in our lives. And we celebrate the feast because we want to avoid spiritual drift, where of course we know we're saved. We know we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and so forth. But it is so easy for our flesh to begin to dominate and for us to make mistakes and begin to walk in things that are not God's best for us. But every year, if we come back to the feast and we learn more and more about our redemption and the infilling of the Holy Spirit and our ultimate destination into glory, which are the fall feasts that we begin celebrating in September and October, this is designed to help us avoid spiritual drift and take on characteristics of the world. And so I am going to define a couple of things, because there are terms used in the feasts that may not be in very common usage in our day and age. And one of those terms is first fruits. You know, it's very possible to sit in church and you hear the pastor or a minister say, use a term like tithe, and you don't even know what tithe means, yet you're hearing it every Sunday. Or you hear the term first fruits, and you don't know what first fruits means. And so every year we return to these definitions, and a bit more understanding can come forth. So what does the term first fruits mean? It's used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in the Hebrew, the word for first fruit is bikurim, B-I-K-K-U-R-I-M. And listen, church, first fruits means the promise to come. In other words, when we celebrate first fruits, we are entering into new levels of the promise of God. We are entering into the possibility of new harvests coming forth. Now, we're in the beginning, early months still, of 2025, and we're in the very early months of the Hebrew calendar of 5785. And so as we celebrate first fruits and we observe the feast, we have the opportunity to, by faith, believe that we can enter into more of the great promises of God, and perhaps even enter into new promises that we have never experienced before. We can enter into new beginnings and new promises. We can enter in by faith to promises that will begin to be manifested. So the word first fruits in the Hebrew means the promise to come. It also means a beginning of sacrifice. In other words, we're going to enjoy blessings of the Lord in 5785 that we will be so blessed, we're going to be able to bring new sacrifices to the Lord. Maybe you've never been able or had it in your hands to give to the Lord like your heart's desire is. Well, we know that in this new year of 5785, we can enter into greater harvest, greater manifestation of the promises of God. And this year, my first fruit and the first fruit of LFI, we are sending to Kenya. Church, I believe we will be able to give more as our first fruits offering in 5785. And that's part of what I'm believing for in the offering that I've already designated to be sent to Kenya. The first fruits offering is the beginning of a new thing. It is the release of our faith for new things to come forth from the promises of God. It is an offering of thanksgiving. Now, I have to set forth this word thanksgiving is primary in the first fruits offering. That we are so thankful for our salvation. We are so thankful for our deliverance from the things that perhaps we were born into. Bondages that were in our families. Things that came upon us as the result of our own sin and mistakes. The sin we didn't even realize was sin and the effect that had in our lives. First fruits offering, which is an offering of promises to come, is a thanksgiving offering for how good God has been to us. And we know that He has prepared much more goodness in 5785, 2025, than we are yet walking in. And so we're filled with thanksgiving. We're filled with hallelujahs. Our hearts are filled with joy because we know it is God's intent and purpose to bless us in 5785. It is an offering of thanksgiving and faith toward God that more of His blessings will manifest in our lives in this year. Church, I do want to make a distinction. There is a difference between the tithe and the first fruits offering. The tithe is a set amount. The scripture teaches, I'm not going to teach on it today, I'm just going to make mention that it is one-tenth of our harvest. For example, if you make 10,000 shillings a week or a month, your tithe of 10,000 shillings is 1,000 shillings. That is something we separate unto God. There are really very few Christians who tithe today. One, for one reason, it is not taught as it should be taught. It's not emphasized as a core part of our covenant with God. The Bible says, give, and it will be given unto you. Whereas so many sit in hopelessness and despair asking, why doesn't God help me? Why doesn't God bless me? But they've not yielded in obedience to worship God with the tithe of the blessings that come into their hands. The tithe is one-tenth where the first fruits offering is an offering that you determine to give from a thankful heart. So there is no set amount for the first fruit offering. It is dependent upon the degree of your thankfulness and your gratitude, and church, the degree to which you are able. Remember the widow who gave the widow's mite, and Jesus looked upon the people as they brought their offerings and put it in the offering container, and this little widow came by who had so little, but she put in her widow's mite, and Jesus said, she's given more than them all. Just understand. Church, I say this with tears for some of you who are there today, and you may not have anything in your hand to give to God. You can give Him a thankful heart. But it is determined by the degree of gratitude that is in your heart toward God for who He is and what He has done for you. The first fruits offering, as I said, is mentioned in both the Old and the New Covenants. And the first time I found it, I'll never forget, years ago, when before I'd ever come to Kenya, when Pastor Wade and I were actually in the first year and a half of our marriage, I was studying tithing and first fruits, and I came across Genesis 4, 3 through 5 in the Amplified Classic Bible. And I want to read, this had such an impact on me. As I read, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering from the fruit of the ground. And Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect or regard. So Cain was exceedingly angry and indignant, and he looked sad and depressed. So Cain brought some fruit, vegetables to the Lord. It was not a serious offering. Now, you can bring your fruit and vegetables, but it was the condition of Cain's heart. He was not seeking to serve the Lord with thanksgiving and the best that he had to offer. I just think he hurriedly gathered up some of his vegetables and went to make the sacrifice. I don't think he put thought and effort and thanksgiving into his offering. And do you know the Lord did not receive it? I've taught you this in years past, but first of all, God has to receive your heart. And then he receives your offering. Remember, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on our heart. I want to ask you today, what is he finding in your heart? Is he finding thanksgiving? Is he finding faith? Is he finding love toward him? So that first fruits offering is an expression of love and honor toward God. He did not find that heart in Cain, and his offering was rejected. And what this teaches us is that we can't be careless about any of our giving to God. Church, he is the Most High God, and he is worthy of our highest and our best. So, there's a lesson here, giving to God that he accepts is going to cost us something. And you can tell when you're maturing that it gives you such joy and you break out in thanksgiving when your first fruits offerings begin to increase and there is more and more that you are able to present to God and say, God, I am so thankful to you for my redemption, for all you're doing in my life. I bring you this first fruits offering with such joy, such gratitude for who you are. I thank you for every blessing. And so it's first fruits has to do, and I'm going to say more about this, cultivating thanksgiving in our heart. First fruits has to do with cultivating generosity in our hearts. First fruits has to do with developing mindfulness of God in everything that we do. Giving first fruits demonstrates, it is a demonstration that God, you are first in my life. You come before those I love the most on this earth. It may be father, mother. It may be brother, sister, grandparents. It may be your husband, your wife, your children. Now, this is very key, church. The first fruits offering says, no one and no thing is more important in my life than you are. Lord, you are first. You are the most high God in my life. I will have no other gods before you. There is nothing, there is no one in this earth I will love even as much as I love you, much less more than I love you. I love you above anyone or anything. There is no ambition in my life that is greater than loving you, worshiping you, and serving you all the days of my life. I'm telling you, as a husband, as a wife, there's no more important position that you can take on this earth than loving God first. As a pastor, as a minister, as a child, as whatever position you are in the church and in your family and in your professional position, whatever it is, there is no more important position than you can take than to put God first in your life. And the first fruits offering is designed to disciple you to do that. When we come to God to gratefully and thankfully put him first, I'm telling you, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit is shed forth in our lives for him to work. Every year we grow, as we celebrate the feast according to the Word of God and by the power of the revelation of his Word that comes forth, it opens up our lives for a deeper and deeper work to take place. Giving God first fruits demonstrates openly that he is first in our lives and he is our priority above everyone and everything else, and we are putting our love and our trust in him above every other human being, and we are thankful and grateful to do this. The first fruits offering demonstrates that we know his plans for us are good and that he will give us a future and a hope. There is not a person who can give us the future and the hope that God can give us. Jeremiah 29:11 is very important in understanding the first fruits offering, that God does have a future and a hope for us, and it can only be found in Him. No, God uses other people for that to be fulfilled, but our future and our hope does not spring forth from another person or a job or anything else. God uses people, and He uses the work of our hand, but it is God who has the plan for our life, and only He can fulfill it. So as we bring our first fruits offering before the Lord, church, we are sowing for a new beginning. We need new beginnings in 2025. First fruits is a part of Scripture that is categorized by Bible scholars as first things. There is the study of first things. And first things have priority. In other words, first things are primary, and they need to be in place in our lives. It means they have a place in our lives. One of the first things is, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, God is to be first in our lives. And first fruits is a part of first things, and it means they have a place of preeminence. In other words, I'm not just going to give first fruits if I happen to think of it. No, first fruits is significant, and it has a place of preeminence in my life. First fruits, I'm going to say some things more than once. First fruits marks the beginning of new things. Church, we're to go from glory to glory. God has prepared new things for us every single year. And He would say, now they spring forth. Do you not see them? Do you not behold them? So as we give first fruits in 2025, 57, 85, there are going to be new things that spring forth. Be on the lookout for them. Don't just overlook it. No, stop and give God thanks for how good He is to cause new things to spring forth. A first fruits offering activates blessings. I'm going to say that again. Giving a first fruits offering activates blessings because we are releasing faith in that first fruits offerings for blessings to come forth as we walk in obedience. Now, this doesn't mean I can just live any way and blessings are going to come forth. No, first fruits offering activates blessing as I walk in faith, I walk and live in the Spirit. First fruits is an offering that comes from your thankful heart. There is no set amount. You set the amount. But as you look at that first fruits offering, you ask yourself, am I thankful? Am I remembering what God has done for me? Am I thankful for what He's brought me out of and where He's taking me into new things? And you release your faith. Lord, I thank you that new things spring forth in 57, 85. Remember, God, man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on our hearts. Will he find thankfulness in your heart? Will he find faith in your heart? This is where our desires reside, in our hearts. And God looks on the desires of our hearts. Are they toward godly things? And this is where new things that we're believing God for begin to spring forth. Our heart is first with God in everything, then our words and our actions. Church, God wants our heart in every offering we make. Every day we should set our hearts on Him. But let's say we're bringing forth a first fruits offering. Above everything, He wants our heart because He wants to form His love in our hearts. He wants to form His desires in our heart, because as He forms His desires in our heart, they will lead us forth in desiring His will. Let's all confess this together. Let me say it first. Lord, first I give you my heart. Now, will you say that with me, church? Ready? Lord, first I give you my heart. Let's say it again. Ready? Lord, first I give you my heart. And God is so moved when we present our first fruits offering with thanksgiving and gratitude for who He is and what He has done for us, and that we are trusting Him for new cycles of blessing. We're trusting Him for new beginnings. We're trusting Him for new things. We're trusting Him, church, for new cycles of increase. Someone shout, increase. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Church, God is good, and He has good things for us in 2025. But is He finding thankfulness in our heart for His goodness? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in the Amplified Bible says, in every situation, this is such an important scripture, no matter what the circumstances, I'm in the Amplified Bible, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And it's the will of God for me as well to continually be thankful. I'll tell you, gratitude will break depression off your life. It will break grumbling and complaining off your life. You'll get a bad report and you'll be tempted to feel bad and maybe get angry or be discouraged. No, lift up your hands and begin to offer thanksgiving to God. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit will break that oppression off of your life. We are to live continually in gratitude to God, because He is greater than every oppression or attack that the enemy can bring against our lives. So we can see that, first of all, the giving of the first fruits offering involves our relationship with the Father. We see the feasts are designed to disciple us. And we can grow and grow and grow and keep maturing in our personal relationship with the Father as we practice first fruits giving. The first fruits offering is an honor, an act of honor that says to God, "You are first in my life. Nothing and no one comes before you. My relationship with you is the most important thing in my life." And so, church, we, through the Thanksgiving offering, we access His presence. We offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and worship. We release our faith and we begin to access the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, the spirit of knowledge and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord begins to pour through our lives as we worship God with our first fruits offering. Church, our relationship with God is actually more important than financial increase. It is more important than any raise your employer can give you. First of all, we want increase in our relationship with God. However, first fruits does involve all kinds of increase. And so the first fruits offering is first of all about our hearts and our desires and about our inner man worshiping the Father. It's about accessing the presence of God and the Holy Spirit releasing light and wisdom and revelation to us. I'm telling you, the first fruits offering is a key in our growth in our relationship with God. Wisdom is granted through the first fruits offering. More of our inheritance in God is granted through the first fruits offering. So it involves first of all the spiritual, and then it impacts our natural lives. Proverbs 3 and verses 9 through 10 in the Amplified Bible is a very major first fruits scripture. And it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops or your income. Then your barns will be abundantly filled and your vats will overflow with new wine." And we see something extremely important to understand about the first fruits offering is that we are to bring it to honor the Lord. It honors God when we bring Him our first fruits offering. What does honor mean? It means we to put Him first, to make Him primary. Church, I want to hear you to hear me so well. It means to reverence Him above everyone and everything else. The first fruits offering is very significant in developing the honor of the Lord in our lives. Leviticus 23:10, which is actually the chapter in the Bible that lays out, of course, it was first revealed to Israel in the Old Covenant. It was still practiced in the New Covenant. The early disciples, for over 300 years, the Jews and the Gentiles who came into the church practiced celebrating the feasts. But in Leviticus, the feasts are laid out by the word of the Lord. And verse 10 says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." So we see it wasn't just Abel who gave of the first fruits. This is all part of the moeds of God. The moed was first revealed in Genesis 1:14. Then it was put into practice in the book of Exodus as they exited from the slavery to Egypt. That was the Passover that was demonstrated in the book of Exodus. And now the Lord goes into more detail in Leviticus, and he says, bring the first fruits to me. And in Deuteronomy 26 is a very important chapter to understand. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 26:10 in the New King James Version says, "And now, behold," this is a confession the children would make, "I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God." In practicing our redemption, Jesus was crucified. That's Passover when in Exodus the lamb was slain and the blood applied to the doorposts. This is practiced in the book of Exodus. And then they come out of Exodus, and he says, "You shall set it before the Lord your God." So then now they practice the feast of unleavened bread. All the feasts tell us the story of Jesus. Every feast is about Jesus and his work among men. Then, church, as we celebrate the first fruits, the practice of first fruits is actually the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what first fruits ultimately is. The resurrection of Jesus, he is called the first fruits who was raised from the dead. And it means there will be more to follow. This is what first fruits says. "I am giving you this first fruits offering, dear Lord, and I know more will follow." In other words, there are harvests that follow the giving of the first fruits offering. Jesus is the ultimate harvest. He's the ultimate first fruit. But when we celebrate the feast and we bring our first fruit, we're saying, "Lord, I know harvest will follow the giving of my first fruit offering unto you." That's why Deuteronomy says, "Then you set it before the Lord and worship before the Lord," because he's the Lord of the harvest and he releases harvest as we worship him from our heart with our first fruits offering. And 1 Chronicles 31:5, I just want to show you the children practice the first fruits offering. As soon, this is New King James, "As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and of all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. This is one scripture where you can see the children practice the giving of first fruits, which resulted in such a harvest that they brought in the tithe also. And then Nehemiah 10:35 in the New King James says, "And we made ordinances to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all our fruit of the trees year by year to the house of the Lord." Why? Because He's the Lord of the harvest. Jesus Christ is Lord of your harvest and my harvest. So we worship Him with first fruits because we're so thankful for Him. And we know that He's the Lord of the harvest. And we, from our first fruits offering, there will be harvests that come in that we will ultimately tithe upon. There will be increase. There will be blessings released in 2025 as we faithfully worship the Lord with our first fruits offering. And so, church, the revelation of the feasts of the Lord. You know, I've taught this for years. I could remember I would study the feast. This was years ago. And I would say to Pastor Wade, "Wait, what? Do you think I'm so drawn to this? Do you think I ought to teach on the feast?" He said, "Yes, I think we need to begin to do that. Let's begin to do that." And so, church, every year I believe for more and more of a breakthrough to come. Breakthrough upon breakthrough. And I just want to tell you, I believe we're gaining momentum. And I believe we're going to have surprising harvests in 2025. And I believe we're going to say more than once, "This is amazing. This is an amazing harvest that the Lord has brought into my hands." I believe I'm going to have that testimony, and I believe you're going to have that testimony. Somebody shout amen. Church, let's say it together. We're going to have harvest in 2025. And shout hallelujah. Amen. The first fruits, let me just make some statements and I'm closing. The first fruits offering opens doors for visitation from the Holy Spirit. I ask the Holy Spirit to visit us this year. And Pastor Davies, I know there are note takers and so forth. This needs to be taken up in the prayers that the church prays on Wednesday night and in the praying mamas and fathers, and I know youth attend as well, but let's all of us take up this in prayer that our first fruits offering are going to have such an impact in the Spirit that we will have visitations of the Holy Spirit this year. And church, I believe our first fruits offerings are going to have such an impact that they will bring forth breakthroughs in 2025 that we need and are believing for. I believe our first fruits offering are going to have such an impact that it will bring forth multiplication of blessings. Now, church, I know our outreaches that are established and the good things the ministry is doing. What if God added to our efforts the spirit of multiplication. I think we need some teaching on that. That God would multiply this year, 2025, in amazing ways. The first fruit offering is designed to refine us. Refine the desires of our hearts. Refine our attitudes. Refine our walk in the Spirit. And refocus our attention on doing the work of the Lord. It is really easy to be a nominal Christian. Oh, yes, I'm born again. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And not be growing. And not be going from glory to glory as it is the Lord's will for us to do. So may our focus be refined this year. And the first fruits offering, I am going to tell you, releases kingdom wisdom to us. We can pray and believe for kingdom wisdom and operate in higher levels of wisdom. Church, I can speak for myself. I earnestly desire and covet to operate in higher levels of wisdom. Offering first fruits offerings opens new doors of access to our inheritance. When we access the presence of God, church, it transforms us. And the Lord promises, as that transformation process takes place, I just read it to you from Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, that He will fill our barns to overflowing and activate His blessings in our lives. So, first major key is that we give our first fruits offering with thankful hearts to honor God as first and foremost in our lives. And second, the first fruit offering is designed as a means of sanctifying the rest of our income. You'll see, as you faithfully practice first fruits, a sanctifying effect that it has as God brings you into greater blessing and greater increase. And it will actually affect all of your income and it'll affect your household. Romans 11 and verse 16 in the NIV says, if the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. So first fruits has a sanctifying effect on your life and the increase that God brings into your life. First fruits giving opens our lives to receiving from God. Instead of having issues and attitudes and hindrances that prevent God's blessing from flowing, first fruits releases greater fullness into our lives. It releases favor and prosperity. Church Pastor Davies and I are believing God for you to be blessed. And we are believing God for Victory Faith Church to bear more and more fruit. Let's say that together. We want to bear more and more fruit. Church, would you say that, please? we want to bear more and more fruit. And this just does not happen. No, we have to put God first in our lives and then be committed to bearing more and more fruit. We must keep Him first in our lives and choose to honor Him year after year as we celebrate the feasts and believe for new cycles to be released. Church, I want now to close and make some statements for us to believe God for as we celebrate First Fruits Offering through this year. May oppression be broken out of our lives. May the impossible become possible. May we experience His glory in 2025. May we fulfill our purpose as a church and a ministry in 2025. May we inherit the blessing of God in 2025. And may we be a great blessing to others in 2025. Church, with my whole heart, I pray that the Word has blessed you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And may you celebrate and give your first fruits offering in power, in glory. And may you be blessed in 2025 in your whole spirit, soul, body, your family, and your finances in a greater degree than you've ever experienced before. In Jesus' name, I love you and I bless you. Amen.